Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we praise him for the grace and the power and the strength. We have been in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we have been looking at this. You know, this letter is an admonition. It's a letter of correction, a letter of guidance, a letter of, you know, teaching the church, because the Corinthian church were gifted in all manner of utterance, in all manner of knowledge. They were full of wisdom. They had everything that a church would have for you to consider it a church. But you see, they were still infants in certain things. They were still infants in when it came to matters of divisions. They were still infants when it came to exercise of spiritual gifts. There were still infants in dealing with sexual immorality in the church. There were still infants in having conflicts among themselves. You know, there were still infants in the divisions, even in dressing, or, you know, who does what and who does what, and how they, you know, whether men share or women share, and all these things that were concerns that the Corinthian church were going. And so Paul is out of, you know, out of his apostolic role, him being their father in Christ. He has to correct them. He has to admonish them. He has to, you know, give them his guidance. And, you know, and yesterday or the day before, we were able to see how he spoke of the importance of love, and love being the greatest gift, you know, or the most excellent way. That yes, you can have all these gifts. You can have, you know, the ability to have all mysteries, all knowledge. You can have the ability to prophesy. You can have the ability to speak in tongues of men and angels. You can be a giver. You can give, you know, all that you desire, or all that you have for the poor. You can even give your own body to be burned. But if you don't have love, it does not profit you anything. And the focus was really, love is the core foundation of every believer. It is the main testament. It is the main covenant, or it's the main commandment that every new creation must exercise. That means we are supposed to exercise love, love, love. And even as you look at 1 Corinthians 14, you can see even as it starts, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So just that core aspect is where it speaks of pursuing love. That means that if there is something that we must chase over, we must pursue love. We must pursue for gifts that unite the church, gifts that build the church. And you can see when it speaks of love being the one that will remain, now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. That means that love is the ultimate. Love is what binds everything together. So now when he starts to speak of the exercise of order in the church, or the exercise of gifts in the church, he still brings that core foundation, which is love. And how do we love one another? By building one another. And so he starts to use that as a measure by which we examine how we exercise our gifts. For example, now if you are prophesying, or if you want to speak to people in tongues, it is better that there is an interpreter, because when there is one, then the people can be built up. When you build up people, when you can build up, you can, you know, you can stir up, you can exhort people, and also you can cheer up, when you can comfort people, then the people experience the love of God. I don't know how it is for you, but whenever you experience the love of God, whenever you've received a word from God, a word in season, one of the things that you will realize is that it is able to build you up. You feel strengthened spiritually. You feel stirred up to action. You feel like your spirit is rising. You're called to action. And beyond that also, the word of God that comes specific, either in prayer or prophetically, it comes to comfort. And that word of God comforts you and assures you that, you know what? There is no connection. I never mentioned this, but the Spirit of God knew for a certain what it is that I am facing. And by that, the Spirit of God gives comfort. So whenever we experience the ministry of the Spirit of God, we experience the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort of the Spirit, because it is God that is the greatest comforter. For us men, we can only speak words, but there is a greatest comforter, and he is actually the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's called the Comforter. One of the words that is used for him is Parakletos. That means the one who walks alongside us, the one who is our helper, the one who is our comforter, the one who is our advocate, the one who strengthens us, and he is actually our advantage. So with the Holy Spirit, we are advantaged. Now, in carrying on to speak about, you know, how exercise of gifts, verse 6 says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I am a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So just to take a pause there, you can see he's speaking about how can we ensure that we are profiting the body of Christ by speaking in love, you know, by ensuring that we are clear in our sound. You know, he's speaking of, you know, every musical instrument has a distinction of sound. That means that there is something unique. And if you apply this to each and every individual, there is something unique that God has given each and every one of us that is able to make us distinguished, is able to make a distinction in our life. But then we are called to make a distinction. We are called, you know, to raise our voice. You know, we cannot be like everyone else. You cannot be like a different man of God or a different church. There will always be differences that God has made, and that is for the glory of God. God has made us different so that he can distinguish people, and it is God that is able to make you different. And when you're different, then you serve God in your own uniqueness, and you see, as you walk with God, as you're faithful with God, God is able to also make you different and make you distinct. So when the distinctions of God come, they come to elevate you, but remember, it is always for the profit of all. When the trumpet makes a sound, it is to call people to war. Otherwise, if it is uncertain, then who will prepare for battle? So there are many themes here that are coming, but I wanted to still emphasize that we are looking at love. We are looking at love being the foundation of the exercise of gifts. We are looking at love being the foundation of being profitable to your neighbor, not being a foreigner to them. So even when it comes to speaking in tongues and interpretation, let there be interpretation. Otherwise, we are foreigners to one another, and we do not build one another. Verse 13 says, therefore, Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So edification is building up. We need to build up one another. We need to encourage one another. Make it your ambition to raise churches, you know, to see where you can step in and support fellow brethren. Remember always Jesus used to say, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. When you give water to that person that needs water, then you are doing something that is unto the Lord. When you share, you know, a meal with someone that is in need, who, especially those of the household of faith, the Bible tells us, do not hesitate to continue to do good. Why? Because when you're doing that, you're doing it unto the Lord, even to your enemies. It says, do not rejoice over your enemies. Do not rejoice over me. You know, when you're going through trials, but God calls us to pray for our enemies, not to rejoice over their suffering. Now, let us look at verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. So, you see, we are being told, do not be children in understanding. That means God expects us to be mature in understanding. However, when it comes to being malicious, let us be innocent as children. Let us just not live in malice to one another. We're being called to live in the place of love. And you see, he's telling the Corinthian church, guys, stay united. Do not be malicious. Do not be like children. You know, if you want to be a child, just be a child in malice, or, you know, a child when it comes to sin. But in your understanding, be mature, be mature, be mature. Verse 21. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Verse 22. Therefore, tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now, I've addressed this issue of tongues being assigned for believers, for unbelievers before, but just looking at the theme of love, we can see that when we are together as a body of Christ, he's saying that prophecy is for believers. So whenever we are prophesying, we are preaching to believers. So whenever you're preaching to the church and you're telling them you're increasing, you know, the Lord is making a distinction in your life. The Lord is taking you from one level to another. The Lord is going to bless you. That actually does not apply to unbelievers. I know there are people who will go like, oh, amen, amen. But there are prophecies, there are declarations of the word of God that come to shift the church forward. But that is for believers. Now, when it says that tongues are a sign for unbelievers, it actually means it's a negative sign. What does that mean? That when the unbelievers come and they find you prophesying in tongues, what happens? They are like, you guys are out of your mind. They will say you guys are mad. And instead of them joining you, they go away. or they will leave away and they will feel like, oh, what is wrong with these people? Or even like you see on the day of Pentecost, you know, when they spoke in tongues, what happened? The people said, these guys are speaking and declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. They must be drunk. That's what they say. They must be drunk. And then they have to be convinced that they are not drunk. So whenever we speak, tongues are a sign for those who, not for those who believe, but for those who are unbelievers. It is a sign to tell them that, well, these guys actually have something that is not normal. They might not look normal. And it's either you want to be part of it or you're not part of it. And when you walk away, you are lost. But indeed, those that prophesy, and Paul is encouraging us to be prophesying to one another such that we can ensure that people are convicted by all, they can hear the truth of God. And even when we speak to people, it takes wisdom for them to be converted, because as you know, even if God reveals something, there are things that you keep and you apply wisdom, because at the end of the day, you want to win them. But however, not everyone will be winned over, because there are those who have already decided they want to enjoy the paths of wickedness, and those ones, they are not for yours to decide. And it's how God is the one who knows how to lead you to the right people and how you can be able to be guided and to guide them. Let's carry on with verse 26, and I think we'll be able to conclude towards the end of the chapter. It says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, and has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. You can see how gifted this church was. Like, people will come and each of them has, each of them has a psalm. Someone has come with a song or a reading from the psalm. Someone has come with a teaching. Someone has come with a tongue. Someone has come with a revelation. Someone has an interpretation. The Corinthian church were gifted in all manner of manifestations of the Spirit, evidences that they were filled with the Spirit. But Paul is reminding them that, look here, when you come together, everything needs to be done for the edification. It is for the building of the church. When you have the foundation, let all things be done for edification. Then you'll always have at the back of your mind that you are not alone. Remember, we are all members of one body. Members of one body of Christ who are called together to live together as united, to be taught in the word of God. And we are being encouraged, let us do everything for the building of the church. Remember, the church goes beyond the building. The church is people. The church is those who are reaching out for the lost, those who are working in missions and all that. At every opportunity that God gives us, let us be able to remember them and stand with them. Verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at three most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to one another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So let's just remember what we are looking at. This is order being spoken about. But how can you be orderly if you don't have love for one another? If you don't respect your fellow brother or sister in the house of God, how can there be order? So when there is love, when there is respect for one another, then even if someone is speaking in a tongue, others will be listening. And then if a tongue comes to someone else, the first one can stop and allow the second person to speak his tongue. And then if a third one comes and you can allow them to speak, let everyone speak in tongue. And then let the person who is going to interpret. Why? Because we are living in unity. We are united. Even though you have the tongues of men and angels and you don't have love, you are just a resounding cymbal. So Paul is very clear to the church. Look here, I don't refuse that you are gifted. I don't refuse that you are anointed. I don't refuse that you have the evidences of the Spirit of God working in your life. But if you are to be Christ's disciple, if you are to remember what is the core angle of God, what is the core expectation of God, let us exercise in love. And so he practically gives them steps of how in love they can exercise order in the church. They can come with all this that they want to share as a body of Christ, but one by one they can exercise the same respect for one another and order. Now let us look at verse 34. The Bible says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, earnestly desire to prophesy. I do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. And you see, this is one of the verses that is mostly, misinterpreted, because you don't understand that Paul is directly speaking to the Corinthian church and to the Corinthian culture. Now you see, in the Corinthian culture, women were not allowed to confront, their men in public. They were not allowed to, to speak even according to the law, to their, to speak against their husbands. But you see, Paul had been teaching the church freedom. He had been teaching them the liberty, where men and women are equal. There is no difference between a man and a woman. And this freedom brought about some confusion in the church, in that now women who in that time, they were not taught, they were not educated. And so they would have, many questions, and they would interrupt the service, and it would be, cause confusion in the church and lack of order. And Paul is trying to bring order. And you can see it says, let your women. He does not say let every woman keep silent in church. He's not addressing it that now it is a rule and foundation that women should not preach in church, or women should not teach men. I know the various denominations that apply this differently. If based on the circumstance and based on where they are, if it applies and they feel that that is what will work for the congregation, they may not be wrong. And that's why Paul gives this guidance to this church. But however, what we know is that the Holy Spirit has been given to both men and women. Remember, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and we spoke about even your maid servants and your maid servants. So there is no distinction, both male and female. And we can see even in the scriptures that there are women who prophesied. Think of Aquila and Priscilla. This was husband and wife who were able to teach the word of God. They prophesied. They were the teachers of Apollos. They were companions with Paul. Paul also did not just have, did not just interact with, male leaders only, but they're also female leaders. And remember, when he speaks of those that are fighting, he tells them that these women have, valiantly fought for the gospel. Let them be united. So women to have a very important part in the house of God. Even think of Philip. The Bible tells us Philip had 4 daughters, virgin daughters, who prophesied. So we can see that it is a specific instruction that is specific for the Corinthian church, and it should be applied in the context of the Corinthian church, because remember, the key foundation that Paul was targeting is love and order in the church, because God is not a God of confusion, He's not a God of disorder. He wanted the services to run in the right order, that the worship should not be interrupted, and He clearly addresses to them. He tries to bring to them to their point, what are some of their reasons? Be submissive, you know, stay silent. If you have issues, ask your own husbands at home. Do not start to speak in church and cause confusion in the church, interrupt the service. And He's even telling them, even your law states that this is according to your law, according to the law. In that time, women were not permitted to do certain things. He also tells them, even if you look at the scriptures, the word of God did not come originally from you. But there is an order that God has established. And Paul is trying to tell them, look here, if you think I'm saying something different, you judge. If you're spiritual, you judge. Judge whether my guidance is right or wrong. And he says, these are actually commandments from the Lord. And you see, Paul is actually one who understood that by liberty, God had brought him to the point where even the things that he shares can be considered as law. So eventually says, at the end of it, I do not forbid speaking in tongues. Please speak in tongues. In fact, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But I tell you, if you want to exercise your gifts in love, desire to prophesy, which is better? But at the end of it all, let everything be done indecently and in order, because the foundation of it is love. And when you are in love, then you are able to build your fellow brother and your fellow sister. So I'm going to stop here, and I pray that God has given us insight into this. And if there are any reflections, you are welcome, my sister.
Thank you so much. Just proceed. I'm in the office.
No problem. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we give you glory, we honor your holy name. Thank you for your loving kindness, thank you for your grace, your power, your wisdom, and your favor. You have kept us thus far. You've called us to walk in love. You've called us to build one another. And I thank you for our families. Thank you for the needs that are here, the needs that are in our families, in our children. The Lord, you watch over them. You are their protector. You are their keeper. You are the one that sustains. You lift up every demonic activity, every demonic spirit of death that wants to hover around your children. We bind it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray for provision, pray for wisdom, pray for clarity of thought, pray for protection on the roads, that even as you go and do our various works, that your hand and power shall be upon us. Oh God, we bring thanksgiving for the good things that you've done in our life, and for that we are grateful. Thank you for answered prayers. May your name be exalted and be magnified. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.